I told the first service that this week I had no motivation or desire to preach at all. I absolutely don't. It was difficult. And I'm telling you, it was difficult. I had no passion to preach today for about, let's say, 9/10 of the week. Let's say that. All right, 9/10 of the week. I had no passion, desire, motivation to preach His Word. And so I just waited on the Lord, and I waited on the Lord. And I told Him, I was honest with Him. I said, God, look, I got to be honest with you, man. I have no desire to want to preach this Sunday. I have no motivation to do it. So I'm going to wait on you, and I'm going to continue to spend time with you and continue to talk to you and communicate with you and still pray and just spend my time with you, and I'm just going to trust you. And so late in the game, he just enlivened my spirit with this morning's message, and I'm really excited about it this morning. I'm pumped, actually, to preach this message to you today because it's something that we all need to hear. It's something that we all need to hear. It's something that is applicable to each and every one of us today. And that is, we're talking about purpose. Right? We've been going through the values of Cornerstone. The last 2 weeks, we talked about pursuing God. Today, we step into the next value of Cornerstone, which is living with purpose. And we're saying that we're going to be a people who live with purpose. All right? And so when you talk about purpose, you got to understand that what you do matters. What you do matters. And that there is a purpose for your life. The Bible tells us that the Lord has created us and He's given us each all a purpose. In Ephesians 2:10 it says, "For we are God's workmanship who have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works that He has prepared in advance for us to do." And so right off the bat, we learn two things. Number one, that God created us and that He has a plan for us. That nobody in this room is an accident, and that God has something in store for you, that He has a purpose for your life. And so there's not a person in this room that God has not purposed for Himself. There's not a person in this room that God has not purposed for Himself. And I know that, and once God purposes you, once God places a purpose over your life and has a purpose for you, nothing can change that away. Nothing can change that. Nothing can take that away. Your purpose in Christ is your purpose in Christ. And I know that we all get busy with the demands of life, and life gets busy and it gets difficult. And sometimes we forget that our lives have a purpose. That there's a purpose behind our lives. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. And have you ever been, you know, just contemplating those questions? Well, what is my purpose in life? Now, have you ever had those prayers with God? God, what is my purpose? What is the purpose, Lord, that You have for me? What is it that You have next for me? And I know the frustration that comes from just like kind of dwelling on those questions. It gets frustrating at times. You know, it gets aggravating. And maybe you're here today and you've been asking God those questions. Like, God, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? What is the purpose that You have for me? So I'm going to give you the answer to that question. You ready? I'm going to give every single one of you the answer to your purpose. You ready for this? I'm going to save you a lot of agony and a lot of stress trying to know the destination that God is going to take you as if the destination was the purpose itself. The destination is not the purpose. It's not the purpose. And so for some people, what I'm about to say is going to feel like assault in an open wound. And for some people, it's going to be like, oh, no. For some people, it's going to be a sigh of relief, and it's going to be a place of rest. And you'll be like, ah, I've been on both sides of that. And so here it is. You ready? God's purpose for you, hold on to your hats. God's purpose for you is right where you're at. God's purpose for your life is right where you are at in your life. Whether you find yourself standing still or whether you find yourself on the move, transitioning into something new, God is the one who directs your steps, it says in Proverbs 19. God is the one who directs your steps. And so where you are right now is where you're going to find your purpose. God's purpose for you is right where He has you right now. Let's turn to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 9, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers. And we're going to look at verses 15 through 23. Now, before we read this chunk of scripture, I just want to lay out the scene for you. I want to paint the picture as to what's happening right now. Okay? If we back up, here is God. He has set the Israelite people free from slavery. Okay? The Israelite people are being set free from slavery in Egypt. They've been in slavery for 300-400 years, and now they are being set free. Okay? So God has kept his promise, that covenant that he made, that he would be their God and that they would be his people. All right? And so he sets them free. They've been in bondage to sin. I mean, they've been bondage to slavery for such a long time. And here is God being faithful with his word. And so he sends them out on a journey. They've been freed from slavery and bondage. And he sets them out onto a journey to a destination that he has purposed for them. This was going to be their own land, this promised land. They set out on a journey to inhabit the promised land that God had set apart for them, that chunk of geographical land that God said was going to be for his people. And so they set out on this journey, and they were finally going to be a nation together. Now keep in mind that these people who just left, they just left the comfort and security of being in slavery. All right? Now, when I say comfort, I don't mean that it was a bunch of bed of roses and that it was all peaches and cream. That is not what I mean by comfort. What I meant by comfort and security is they didn't have, they had their basic needs met. They were fed. They had roofs over their head. They had their own community of people. They had community, they had fellowship, they had water, they had need, they had their basic needs met. And so they were comfortable and they had security in this. But God says, no, you are my people. And I love you. You are my beloved possession. I've got something so much better for you. Something beyond what you can imagine. So set out on this journey and trust me. Set out on this journey and trust me. All right, so where we're picking up here in Numbers chapter 9 is the Israelite nation, all right, these people of Israel. Some scholars have said that it could be close to around 2 million people in a migration right now. Men, women, and children. 2 million people. All right, so they have been camped out at Mount Sinai for about a year now. And so at Mount Sinai, they had received all the laws and regulations that they were to live by. Okay? They had in a sense been transformed into a nation because they got their laws, they got their regulations, and they got their structure of how to live, right? So just like our nation, we have laws, we have regulation, we have a structure that we are all to live by. They were finally being transformed into a nation. A nation. And so now it's time to move out. They got the laws at Mount Sinai, they got the regulations, they got the structure of how to live. Now it's time to pick up camp and move out and receive the land that God has promised for them. And this is where we pick up. Imagine 2 million people migrating across the land. And here it is. In verse 15, on the day the tabernacle, the tent of testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. And that is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night, it looked like fire. Okay, so let me just stop for a second and just show you this picture, all right? The tabernacle was a portable temple. It was a portable temple that was set up with tents, and it was this whole nice big thing that they set up, and this is where the presence of God resided, okay? And so when they picked up, this is a portable temple where the presence of God lived. And so what is happening here is they're seeing is this pillar of cloud above the tabernacle tent, all right? And it's leading them. All right, so that's the image that you have. So verse 17, it says, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out, which means they break camp, they picked up their gear, and set out. Whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. And as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, then the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. And at the Lord's command, they would encamp. And then at his command, they would set out. And sometimes the cloud stayed over the evening, stayed only from evening till morning. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud had lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. Right? So we have this constant repetition of this cloud being removed and settling down. When it removed, it was time, it was assigned by God, it was God's direction saying, pack up your gear and move. And every time that it settled over the tabernacle, it was time to encamp. Let's lay out our stuff, let's set up our tents, okay? And here's verse 23. This is the one I want you to stick in your mind. At the Lord's command, they encamped. And at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. Okay? So you see this picture now. I want you to imagine this picture. 2 million people in a long caravan. They say, some scholars say that if you stretch out 2 million people, it could stretch about 12 miles long. Imagine a 12-mile long line of people being migrating across the vast wilderness, okay? And at the front of this caravan, at the front of this line, was the tabernacle. And above the tabernacle was this pillar of cloud by day, and by night it was fire. All right, so God, in a sense, is providing direction for his people. He's leading and he's guiding his people and he's directing them on where to go. And so they knew that when the cloud lifted, that it was time to move forward. And when the cloud would settle on the on top of the tabernacle, it's time to pack up, camp out, however long it may be. It may be 2 days, it may be a month, it may be a year, we don't know. It's up to God. It's up to God and his direction. And so here they're being led by God's presence. Remember, the tabernacle is where the presence of God dwelt in the Ark of the Covenant. All right, so the presence of God was leading his people. And this was the visible evidence of his moving and directing his people. And so the Israelites traveled, and then they camped as God guided them. They traveled, and they camped as God guided. And so when we look at this, we say, okay, well, here they are. They're just packing up and moving, gather your gear, move it, come back, sit. It's just a repetitive thing. But what I want you to see this morning is that there's something so much bigger going on here. That God had something so much bigger taking place. God was doing something so much more significant. And that is this. God was preparing his people to be a people who would always keep his presence in their midst. God was preparing his people to be a people who would always keep his presence in their midst. The tabernacle was at the front of this caravan. God's presence at the front of everything, leading 12 million people, his people, right? And this is such a beautiful foreshadowing of how God leads his people today. God's Spirit leads and guides us. And so that what we know today, actually, is that it took the Israelites 40 years to journey something that was only supposed to take 11 days. 40 years to travel something that was only supposed to take 11 days. But you see, when God's purpose for them was so much greater than just migrating a large group of people into a different geographical location. In the desert, as they wandered in the wilderness, God was preparing them to live for him. God was preparing them to live for him once they arrived in the place that he set before him. And this is God's purpose for you. To prepare you right where you are in life. Exactly where God has you at this moment in life. God wants to prepare you right where you are in life to be the person he needs you to be in the next place that he has set out before you. See, God had a destination up ahead. He had set out this promised land, this place that they were promised, this beautiful land flowing with milk and honey was awaiting them. But in order to be the people that he had set apart, right? He said, I'm going to set you apart. You're going to be my people. You're going to be set apart from all the other people groups in the face of the earth. And you are going to represent me to all the other nations. In order for them to be the people who represent him in that land that he provided, they were going to have to learn a lot on the journey. I mean, imagine being in slavery for as long as they were in slavery. And the attitude that you might have conjured up, and the contempt, and the anger, and the hatred that you had towards people. Imagine it for a second. God had to do a massive transforming work in them. And so he did this as they journeyed through the wilderness for 40 years. And he led them through the wilderness as he guided them by his presence. And that cloud lifted up. It was time to pack up your gear and let's break camp and let's keep moving. And then when that cloud settled, it was time to camp out and let's stay here for a while. But they had to learn a lot on the journey. They would have to learn to trust him. They would have to learn to obey him even when it made no logical sense to obey him. Let's circle the walls of Jericho 7 times. See what happens. And then shout, right? Strike that rock and see if water comes out. That kind of stuff. To trust and to obey him even when it made no logical sense. And they had to learn to trust him in the midst of their situation. Imagine the conditions of traveling through a wilderness, a vast, empty, wild wilderness for 40 years. And so they were learning how to live lives that were set apart for God. They were learning how to be his representative people on this earth. They had to learn the importance of dedicating themselves to God. They did this by circumcision, but the greater thing was there to dedicate yourself to God. And they were learning to commit themselves to God and to be faithful to God, even though their conditions may have been so gloomy, or probably were, right? Can you imagine the conditions of life traveling through the wilderness? It's nasty, right? It's got to be pretty nasty. And here's what I'm getting at this morning. If we are going to be a people who live our lives with purpose, then we must understand that his purpose for our lives is exactly where he has planted us right now. Exactly where God has planted you right now, at this very moment in your life, is exactly where he has you. Whether you're in a season of transition and you're transitioning into something new, or whether you're staying in one place, you are physically somewhere in your life right now. You are physically somewhere in your life right now. And your life is at a specific place right now. Each and every person in this room, your life is at a specific place right now. And you see, just like the Israelites experienced, direction from God is not just for your next big move in life. It has to do with where you're at right now. God has a purpose in placing you exactly where you are in your life right now. And remember, like I said before, I know that some people are hearing this and they're like, oh man, this is salt in an open wound. I didn't want to hear this, right? But the key to knowing your purpose in life is to discover what God wants to do right where he's placed you at this point in life. The key to discover your purpose in life is to discover what he wants you to do right where he has you placed at this point in life. I've heard it said like this: bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. In other words, grow and learn and as much as you possibly can, you can, at this very place that God has placed you. Wherever God has you right now, whether you find yourself on the move and you're transitioning, or whether he has you camped out in life, your purpose in life is right where he has you. And so if this is the case, then our prayers should really change from saying, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do next? What is my purpose in life? Where is it that you're trying to take me? Where is this place, this purpose? As if purpose is some destination. And instead of praying those prayers, God, what is it that you want me to do next? What is my purpose? Use this prayer. Pray this week. God, what is it that you want me to do while I'm right here? What is it that you want me to do while I'm right here? While you've got me camped out in this point in my life? What is it that you want me to do while I'm right here? What is it that you want me to learn while I'm right here? What is it that you want me to understand while I'm right here? And the key to all of this is knowing that God has placed you right where he wants you. He's placed you exactly where he purposed you to be. Your purpose in life is exactly where you're at right now. And so again, you might be thinking, man, that's just fantastic. Beautiful, great, that's awesome. God has planted me right here in the midst of this crummy, miserable life that I have. I know some of you are thinking it. I know you. I've thought about it. I've thought about it at times. And you know, I can imagine the Israelites had the same reaction as they're wandering through the desert, through a vast, empty wilderness for 40 years. Seriously, God? We're your chosen people, and you're leading us and you're guiding us to just travel around and for 40 years, and we're hungry, we're thirsty, we've got no shelter, we've got no land of our own right now. Well, you promised us something, God. Well, where is it? What is it? What's the purpose for this? What's the purpose in all of this, God? And remember, it took them 40 years to reach a destination that was only meant to take them 11 days. God needed them to obey and trust him before he brought them to the place that he had for them. There was a purpose in that waiting. There was a purpose in that being in camp. There was a purpose in going through the difficult parts of life and to trust him when the conditions around you look miserable and bleak and that there's no hope in sight. God is saying, will you trust me? Will you still obey me? Will you still remove the sin from your life? Will you still be my people? Will you still dedicate me, even though you haven't reached that place yet? Even though everything around you looks terrible and miserable, are you still going to trust me? Are you still going to trust me? Are you still going to obey me? Are you still going to submit your will to my will? In that place of wandering, God taught them who he was. And they learned a lot about who they were, right? As they were wandering in that wilderness, they learned that God was faithful to his promises. They learned that God was faithful to his promises. They learned that he was more concerned with their hearts than he was about their outward appearance and how they appeared to other nations. He was more worried and more concerned about their hearts. They learned that he was in control and that he was sovereign. And that he was guiding them all along the way. And they learned a lot about themselves too, that they were weak in their faith. They were shallow in their faith. They learned that they were not faithful to him in the way that he was to them. And they learned that the selfishness of their hearts and the selfish desires that they had kept them from reaching the place that he had for them. You see, what good was the promised land? What good was the promised land that God had for them if they were just going to be the type of people that were already living there? What good was the promised land that God had marked out for them, and on the map he said, this is the land that I have given to my people. What good was that promised land if they were just going to be like all the other people that had already lived there before them and all the other nations? But God says, no, you are my special people, my chosen. I've called you out of all the other people groups in the world to be my representative people. I want you to represent my nature and my character on this earth. But before you get there, I've got to teach you how to be that person. Before you get there, I've got to teach you how to be that person. And the same is true for us. What good is the next big place that God has for you if you don't learn to trust and obey him right where he has you? God's purpose for where he has you right now is to prepare you to live for him, to prepare you to serve him, and to show your faithful devotion for him. And he's asking for our best effort now so that we will be prepared for all the plans he wants to do in and through us at a later date. He's preparing his people right now. He's preparing you. Exactly where you are in your life. God's purpose for you is right where you are in life. And God's ultimate goal is to make us more like Christ, is to shape us and to mold us and to fashion us into Christ's likeness. And he does that as we submit our lives to him. On a daily basis, I have to say, God, it's not my will be done, but your will be done. It's submitting our will to his will, you know? And so when he leads us to a place and tells us to camp out there, we must not do so with complaining and groaning and contempt and anger. When God leads you into a place and you find yourself camped out there for longer than you really want to be camped out there, can you imagine? The Israelites did not want to be camped out for 40 years. They wanted to just get to the place and get there quick. They didn't want to go through all the trials and the tribulations that came with wandering and migrating through a desert. So when God leads us to a place and tells us to camp there, let's not be groaning, let's not be complaining, let's not have contempt, and let's not have anger towards Him, but a willing heart that says, God, what is it that you want me to do while I'm right here? God, what is it that you want me to learn while I'm right here, camped out right here? What is it that you want me to understand while I'm right here? And sometimes the place that He has you camped out will be brief. Sometimes it'll be for a while, right? In that passage, it said that the Holy Spirit, they would be camped there sometimes for 2 days, sometimes for a month, sometimes for a year. It's up to God. And so let me say this. You may be encamped at a place for a while, and you're not knowing why you haven't moved on. Right? You're saying, God, I feel like I've been camped out here for a while. A couple months, a year, 2 years. Maybe you feel like it's your whole life. Why haven't I moved on from here? Why haven't I moved on from here? And perhaps it's because He's wanting to prepare you. Prepare you and have you obey Him and learn Him, learn from Him what He's teaching you. And if we say in the moment, without complaining or arguing or contempt and anger, that where we are is where God has directed us and that His steps has guided us to exactly where we are, then let's say to Him, God, what is it that you want me to do while I'm right here? God, what is it that you want me to learn right here? And if you apply yourself to learning and submitting and obeying Him right where He has you, right where you're camped, then maybe, just maybe, if you apply yourself to learning and submitting and obeying to Him exactly where He has you camped out, then maybe, just maybe, that cloud will lift and it'll be time to break camp and move on to the next place. When I was 21, I surrendered my life to the Lord, and I made some changes. I was living in Virginia at the time, and I moved back to Pennsylvania, where I knew that there was a church here, this church, that I knew that I could get plugged into, and that people would love me for the way I was, just the way I came in. And I knew that people would walk through life with me, and they would teach me, you know, what it meant to be a follower of Christ. And so I made that first step. I was like, I just removed myself from a situation that was bad. I moved back to Pennsylvania. I enrolled into Temple University. I was a contractor full-time student, full-time contractor, not knowing where God was doing, but I heard from people and I read in the Bible that He was guiding me. That when you surrender your life to Him and you say, God, here, I'm giving you my life, He promises that He will guide you and direct you. Right? And so here I am, a young follower of Christ, not knowing what is in front of me, constantly asking these questions. God, what is my purpose? I hear that there's a purpose for me somehow. I hear that that you have a purpose for my life. What is it, God? Can you just show me what that purpose is, please? So that I can prepare myself to get there? Could you just please show me what's next or where you're taking me? As if that destination was the purpose, right? The destination is not the purpose. And so I had this frustration. I said, God, show me where I'm going. Show me so that I can prepare myself to get to that place. And I didn't see it then, but all along the way, as I took step after step, God was leading and guiding my life. I had no idea what major to go to concentrate in a temple. From that point in my life, it was all about baseball. Baseball was going to be my livelihood. I was going to make millions of dollars. It's okay, you can laugh. But that was my passion. That was my pursuit, right? And so here I am. I'm all I know is that I have to take one step in front of the other. I have no idea where God is leading me, guiding me, but all I do know is that I have one step to take. All I can do is take one step in front of the other. And I have to trust that He is leading me and guiding every step. It was like there's this fog in front of my life. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Like there's this fog in front of you where you can't see beyond just this fog. All you can see is that you have one step to take. And there's a step that you can take. And so you take that step. And so I took that step and I enrolled into Temple and I enrolled into, my major was strategic and organizational leadership. I said, God, what am I going to use this for? What am I going to use this for? I use every second, I use everything that I was ever taught as a pastor from Temple. I learned leadership. I learned organizational skills. I learned communication skills. I learned all of that stuff as Temple. And you see, God was leading me on a path, even though I could not see where I was going. All I knew is that I had to trust Him and that I had to obey Him where I was at. And so I would remove myself from the sin, and I would be working on the sin that was in my life, and I'm saying, God, I'm going to obey You here, and I'm going to trust You here, and I'm going to trust You here, and I'm going to be faithful to You here, and I'm going to obey You here again, and I'm going to be faithful to You here again. All the while just taking one step in front of the other in faith, trusting and believing that He was leading my life, that He was guiding my life. It's like this. I use this example. So if, here's my what life, and I'm walking along, and right? And it's like you don't know where the next step is, but you just trust that it's there. And you just keep walking. And you just keep walking, and you just keep obeying, and you just keep submitting your life to His life, and you keep submitting your will to His will, and you keep on obeying, and you keep on being faithful, and you keep on doing the same thing, and you same thing, and same thing, and same thing, and same thing. And then you look back and you say, man, that's what you were doing this whole time. This is where you were leading me. This is where you were guiding me. There were times on all those years where I was just like, why am I camped here? Why can't I get past this right here, God? Where are You taking me? What is going on, God? And so let me encourage you today, as you go about your daily tasks and your what may seem mundane, ordinary lives, let me tell you, God has so much purpose in the mundane and ordinary life. He has so much purpose in the mundane and ordinary life. And I don't mean that in a demeaning way. I mean that in a really special way. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He really, really does. And so let your faith be enlarged today as you trust that God is directing your life for His purpose. And that your purpose in life, God's purpose for you, is exactly where you are. Because He's preparing you for where it is He's going to take you next. And so apply yourself to learning as much as you possibly can. Apply yourself to obedience, following His commands, you know, following His precepts, making His mission your mission, His ways your ways, and saying, God, I'm going to be faithful to You yet again, each and every day, taking one step in front of the other, trusting that the God of the universe, the God who spoke all things into exact specific location, is guiding your steps too. The God who spoke the sun and the earth to be exactly where they are, the exact distance from the earth from the sun, is so specific. God spoke these things into existence. He placed these things into existence, and He places your life where He has planted you. So bloom where you're planted. Bloom exactly where God has you. Linda, is Linda here? No? Oh, could you play for us? We are, it's the last Sunday of the month, and we typically share in communion. So if I could ask the ushers and anybody else who could actually help them to just begin to distribute these. And one of the great things about taking communion together and sharing in this, is we kind of sang it this morning, right? I believe in the saints' communion. It's us saying, hey, we're all in this together. Do you know that we're linked together? Whoop, my bad. Man. Do you realize that we are all, if you have asked Jesus into your life and He's the Lord, your Lord and Savior, we are all in Christ. We're in Him. That links us together. As brothers and sisters, we're linked together. There's a bond that cannot be broken between all of us. And that bond is Jesus Christ and His blood that covers our sins. We're all bound together as brothers and sisters in Christ because we're in Jesus. And so when we take communion together, we're declaring, we're celebrating, and we're being thankful for what God has done for us. And we're saying, thank You, God, that You're leading my life, that You're guiding each and every step of my life, Because when you ask Jesus to be the Lord and your Savior, His very Spirit comes into your life and He begins to guide you and direct your life. And there are times in your life when you don't understand it. You feel like you're camped out longer than you want to be camped out. I can imagine the Israelites felt that way, right? How long do we have to camp here, God? How long do I have to stay here, God? God's purpose for you is exactly where He has you, to prepare you to be the people He needs you to be. And the next place that He has for you. God is coming back soon. Jesus is going to return. And right now He is saying, ready yourselves. Prepare yourselves for what's next. He may come in our lifetime. I don't know. And so if that's the case, then we're being prepared for what's next. Some younger people in here, God is preparing you for the life that He's going to be doing, the next phases of your life, adulthood and family, careers. For some of you who are in your careers, God is preparing you for being grandparents. But ultimately, God is preparing each and every one of us to be people who represent Him here on this earth. What an awesome privilege that is. God, that You would see me as worthy enough to die for. I was worth dying for. And so much so, and You love me so much that You want me to represent You here? What qualifications do I have to represent You, God? And you know what those qualifications are? You're holding them in Your hand. You're holding the qualifications in Your hand. It's the blood of Jesus that qualifies you. It's His body that was broken for you, that was qualifies you to be His representatives on this earth. So just take a moment. I'm just going to take a moment as Linda plays, and just take a few moments. Just spend time with the Lord. Just spend some time with the Lord and reflect on these words that you heard this morning. And then we'll pray and take them together.